Native Leaders Demand Inquiry into Shooting is the name of an article from the CBC from January 6th. Top Aboriginal leaders in Manitoba are demanding a public inquiry into the shooting death of a man from Norway, Houston, of Norway House earlier this week. Dennis St. Paul was finishing his shift as a dishwasher at a local restaurant on Monday when an RCMP constable tried to arrest him for patrol violations. RCMP say that the two men struggled after a foot chase and two shots were fired. St. Paul died later in the hospital. As more details of the shooting surfaced, Aboriginal leaders say that they raised disturbing questions. Norway House Chief Ron Evans wants to know why police would shoot an unarmed man, especially since St. Paul couldn't run very fast due to a mild disability. Evans also questions how many shots were fired during the incident. Police say two, but Evans says witnesses saw three bullet wounds. Evans worries that the RCMP may not disclose what really happened, and his suspicions were heightened when he heard that the constable's partner is working on the investigation into the incident. He says, "How can we feel that it's been fair and just? Because they've been investigating themselves." The RCMP has promised to give the family and band officials as much information as they can. Dennis Whitebird, head of the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs, says that a public inquiry is needed. "We now have a deceased man who was the father of three children, who had a wife, and now he'll no longer support his family because the RCMP has taken his life away," says Whitebird. Acting Attorney General Dave Shomiak says that the province will have an independent Crown attorney working with the RCMP on its investigation. The province will also ask an outside police force to review the case. Provincial officials say they won't make any decisions about a public inquiry until all the current investigations are complete. So that was a piece of news. And now we're going to hear interviews with Chief Ron Evans from Norway House Cree Nation and with Nahani Fontaine, the Director of Justice for the Southern Chiefs Organization of Manitoba. First, we will hear from Nahani Fontaine.
My name is Nahani Fontaine. I'm the Director of Justice for the Southern Chiefs Organization. The Southern Chiefs Organization represents 36 Southern First Nations in Manitoba. Our Justice Department deals with a variety of issues, including policing, corrections, devolution of probation services, gangs, anything to do with justice as it relates to our people. Implementation of treaty and Aboriginal rights, and the list goes on and on.
Okay, well, regarding the relationship between First Nations communities and the RCMP or the police, recently there has been many cases that have made headlines throughout the country, but specifically in the prairies, in regards to police brutality against members of your community. Can you maybe elaborate on this and expand on what that means and how it impacts your community?
Okay, well, I guess the first thing that we need to examine or explore when we look at policing relations, and I'm going to say, for the sake of this conversation, policing relations, because it's not only the RCMP. While the RCMP are across Canada for the most part, there are provincial bodies policing, and there are municipal policing agencies. And so one of the things that we have to look at in policing relations is the history of policing, enforcement of rules and colonial legislated rules. And that is to say that the beginnings of policing, the RCMP in particular, were really designed and brought forth to protect Western settlement and development. So, you know, there was First Nations people, Indigenous peoples all across this land, obviously, from the time that the first white man put his foot on our land. And, you know, it was perceived that our people were in the way. And from their perspective, they were. They were in the way of developing the West. But that was our land, and we had every right to be there. And so the RCMP were, you know, created and brought in to kind of enforce this Western expansion and move Indigenous peoples from this kind of corridor that was getting developed and stolen from us. So that's a very intrinsically oppressive relationship. when you're actually created to oppress one group of people for the protection and power of another group of people, intrinsically, it's going to be a dysfunctional relationship. You cannot ignore that. And unfortunately, in our society, we don't recognize and we don't know that history. So that when we talk about the RCMP, and globally, the RCMP, a Mountie, is globally a symbol for Canada, this stoic individual riding on his great brown horse. It's something we've all grown up with, and it's some kind of semblance of pride for Canadian identity and history. Well, that's not necessarily the case. In fact, when you look at relations between the RCMP and Indigenous peoples, a lot of times when residential schools were enacted and enforced, and parents and grandparents did not want to send their children to residential schools, and rightly so, because who on earth would want their 4-year-old child to be taken away from them and shipped off to some cold residential school for 10 months of the year, and if you're lucky, if you got to see your child again after that. If you tried to hide your child or just said, no, our child's not going, the RCMP were called in. And, you know, parents were arrested or hunted down in the bush by the RCMP, and children literally screaming and being taken from RCMP. So you have that relationship. I mean, a lot of the relationship just kind of gets exacerbated. So when we talk about contemporary Indigenous policing relations, you cannot separate that history from where we are today, because it is a fundamental component to where we are today. So when we look at today, there have been cases across the country with respect to particular incidents with the RCMP and other policing, municipal and provincial policing with Indigenous peoples. And, you know, you can name off a bunch. Here in Manitoba, we have, you know, the J.J. Harper, Saskatchewan Neil Stonechild, Connie Jacobs and Ty Jacobs from the Tsina First Nation, and then more recently the Dennis St. Paul issue in Norway House. I mean, there's been some change among relations, but I think that there's still overall this perception, this colonial kind of ideology of Indigenous people as less than and intrinsically more inclined to become criminals and that kind of discourse, so that you're kind of legitimized if you're a policing, if you're within the policing kind of culture, you're kind of legitimized in any kind of action you take towards Indigenous people because, you know, they rightly deserved it. They're lazy, they're crooks, they're drunks. To me, that seems that ideology, that thought process, that discourse is still prevalent within Indigenous and policing relations across the country.
Now, it seems that the attempts, let's say, from authorities in Canada, whether it's policing bodies or governments, there's an attempt to portray this context that you've explained as almost non-existent. It's as if there can be a bettering of relations between Indigenous Native communities and the RCMP if things are talked about and worked out. Do you think that this is possible, or do you think that there has to be more systematic or structural changes within the actual Canadian framework, so to speak?
Okay, well, I guess 2 points. I think that you're absolutely right that sometimes when we talk about you know, issues of racism within the police or issues of excessive force in the police, within the policing institutions across the country, there is kind of this counter discourse of, well, no, that doesn't really exist. You know, I treat everybody the same. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Indian, purple, green. And I mean, I've literally gotten comments like that from police officers. I treat everybody the same. Well, that's not necessarily the case. And one of the insidious kind of characteristics of racism is that most people can't recognize racism. If they're exhibiting racist behaviors, most of the time you don't kind of know it, because overall in Canadian society, we don't talk about racism. Again, Canada is touted globally as, you know, one of the most advanced multicultural societies in the world. And when you keep thinking that that's the case, and you don't talk about racism, when all of a sudden somebody says, look, your institution is racist, and look at the policies that you do, look at the things, the actions that are undertaken by your members, No. Well, no, it's not. You know, okay, well, there might be a couple of bad apples. Constantly you hear that discourse of, you know, there's a couple of bad apples. People negate that it's a structural thing. It's a structural kind of component that allows these behaviors to happen. And if you're in power and nobody's ever told you that, you know, look, the way you're interacting and the practices that you do are not right, they're racist, well, of course you're going to think that there's nothing wrong. There is no racism. And I'm telling you, I've heard time and time again, we do not tolerate racist behaviors, blah, 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 blah. The simple fact that Aboriginal people across the country get arrested, incarcerated, and go through the justice system at 3, 4, 5, 10 times the national rate indicates to me that there's a fundamental problem and that there is a fundamental issue of racism within policing institutions.